ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow, that was loud. All right, thank you to the live studio audience. It's been a few weeks since we've had that live studio audience. Hope your ears are intact. Boy, oh boy. Well, I don't know where everyone is listening around the world, but it is chilly here in Chicago. And many people let the chilly weather get them down. But we are cold warriors. Yes, we maintain our positive attitude even in when the external environment is a little chilly. Anyway, it's been a lot of fun over here. We have reached -8 and then with wind chill even more. So wherever you are, stay warm, cuddle up with some hot chocolate, and enjoy this Monday Motivation. Please like and subscribe, share. And what can I say? Tomorrow's, whenever you're going to listen to this podcast. By the way, came up with a new slogan here because some people think that it's Monday Motivation. You can only listen on Monday. But really, you can listen any day of the week except Shabbos, of course. So how do you like this tagline? Monday Motivation, wisdom for your week and for your life. Like that? So like people listen the whole week and for your life, week life. Okay, let me know. If you have any more snazzy, catchy slogans, taglines that we can get so that people will realize it's not just Monday. Like you can listen to this thing on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. Okay. So, in what is absolutely unfathomable news this week, and of course we're going to give you the Torah perspective on this, is that the Israel was taken to the High Court of the Hague, of the UN in Hague in the Netherlands, for war crimes of genocide against the Gazans, against the Palestinians. And is one of the greatest head scratchers in recent history, as low as the UN has gone, and how blatantly anti-Semitic as they have been for decades. I mean, really decades, to put the genocide accusation from South Africa of all nations, which is has been a very a long history, the ruling party, of brutality toward its own people, and maybe that's part deflection. But to come from South Africa and all the wonderful, beautiful, moral countries that have joined, of course, Djibouti. You know, everyone's waiting to know what Djibouti has to say on things. And others, Brazil, shocking. Forget rooting for that soccer team. All these countries coming out in support of Israel being labeled and accused and convicted of being a genocidal nation when it's literally just the opposite. And so what I want to do is, the goal of this is not to be a newscast. I assume that many of you are listening to the news and in tune with what is happening. But as always, the news is not going to give you the Torah perspective on what is happening. That said, I did want to just give you a few quivers in your bow, a few missiles in your own personal arsenal, why this accusation is absolutely ridiculous. And then we're going to go to the Torah concept, okay? All right, so here we go. So why is this claim totally baseless and ridiculous? Well, the answer is that a genocidal nation is one that goes out of its way to single out and specifically destroy, maim, rape, pillage a particular race or ethnicity, and, you know, a priori, willingly. And clearly Israel was not doing this October 6th. It was only October 7th after 1,200 of its citizens were brutally murdered, and all the other descriptions that I hope you know by now, but, you know, baked in ovens and dismembered, and with the most vicious, vicious attack, pogrom, with a military force against a civilian force. And you can only imagine what any other country would have done. It really is awful. And it would have been, there would have been nothing left of Gaza. Like, imagine, you know, Mexico would have attacked San Diego in that way. I mean, you know, Tijuana would have been a pancake in a second. No, there's no question that this would have happened. And in fact, if Israel was seeking genocide, they're really bad at it because they have the weapons to, well, just a few bombs to wipe out Gaza pretty easily. And so they're pretty bad at it. In addition, we should know that not only is Israel not a genocidal state and effort, but really the only people who actually really cares about the Gazans is Israel. They have sent millions of leaflets and text messages and calls telling the bad guys where to go. And all the citizens, the regular citizens, are getting messages please evacuate the area. We don't want to hurt you. Who in their right mind would do that? What military force would tell the bad guys, their enemies, what's happening? In addition, as I'm sure you know, Hamas embeds themselves in all sorts of public institutions, hospitals, schools, mosques, all sorts of things. And what I've been shocked at is that is no surprise. But all the videos, I hope you're seeing the clips that are coming out of Gaza, you're talking about children's bedrooms, baby carriages, baby incubators, literally in average people's homes. You have missiles and rockets and grenades and rifles and everything you could imagine. Imagine your own home and imagine in, you know, your little daughter's bedroom with like pink stuff and, you know, whatever. And underneath in the third drawer are RPG, you know, launchers. And this is happening again and again and again. Several of the freed hostages have said, and these are people who are not right wing at all, at least before the war. And they said there is no innocent Gazan. For this to have, for rocket launchers to be everywhere inside private homes, this is a national movement. Okay, that's aside. And so therefore, for the Jewish people to defend themselves in the most ethical way possible, and then to be accused of genocide is beyond comprehension. They're basically telling us, you have no right to defend yourself. We are going to wipe you off the map physically and then legally, so that it will be illegal for you to defend yourself. And the great cry of never again from after World War II and the Holocaust is falling on deaf ears. And they're trying to legally enforce that we will never again be able to defend ourselves. But we will not listen to them. And so therefore, hold your heads high and never cower to those. Those are only a few of the reasons why Israel is not a genocidal state. But enough for now. But this head-scratching phenomenon doesn't happen for naught. In other words, we are fundamentally dialed into the fact that nothing happens by accident. If there is an ABC 1-2-3 of Jewish Torah philosophy, it is that there are no accidents. Everything has a purpose, no matter how insane and no matter how irrational. And I think that the total irrationality of these claims in The Hague and around the world that it's the Jews' fault that this happened has to get us to think, why? What could be the message? In fact, if you look at the cover picture of the podcast, you have The Hague with these four, you know, standing in judgment of these four Israeli female captives. And it's a cartoon. It says, what do you have to say in your defense? And you have these four Israeli captives, women who are bloodied and with hand, you know, tied, hands tied on their back. It's basically what they're doing. And so we have to find out why. Where do we look? We always look in the Torah. So I'd like to turn your attention to the fourth book of the Torah, fourth out of the fifth book of the Torah, in Parshas Balak. And for those of you who might remember, Balak was the evil king who brought in an even more evil prophet, Bilam, who was brought in because Balak saw that as the Jewish people were conquering the nations to the east of the Jordan River, about to conquer them and go into the land of Israel, that physical might could not destroy or stop the Jewish people, but rather we needed spiritual power. And so Bilam was the power of curse. He was a non-Jewish prophet. Our Torah and our writings tell us that he was on the level of Moshe, possibly even higher in certain levels of prophecy than Moshe. And which is a different discussion how that happened altogether, but nevertheless. And in his first prophecy, he says about the Jewish people, the basic idea is that he's tried to say negative things, but only positive things came out. But the Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on page 95b says a principle about Bilam's prophecy. From what he says that comes out positive, we can inductively reason, we can work backwards and find out what he really wanted to curse them with. So in other words, he wanted to curse A, but the blessing came out not A. So if we understand what not A is, we can infer back what he really wanted to curse us with. And he says in chapter 23, verse 9, and it's the second part of the verse, it says, Hen, the Jewish people, Am, a people, Levadad Yishkon, they are a nation that dwells alone. Uvagoyim, and among the nations, Lo Yischashav, they will not be counted, they will not be reckoned. We are a nation that dwells alone. We are a nation, we have our own destiny. We have our own moral barometer. We have a calling. We are distinct in our mission as the Jewish people and can never forget that. And therefore, we can work backwards. And the commentators say, what was Bilam really wanting to do? What was the curse that he wanted to curse us? Is he wanted us to be like everyone else. He wanted the Jewish people to assimilate. He wanted the Jewish people to forget our moral code. He wanted us to forget our God. He wanted us to forget our unity as a Jewish people. He wanted us to assimilate in the great melting pot of civilizations from time immemorial. And unfortunately, at various times throughout our history, we have done just that. And therefore, we can now see the key to Jewish destiny is just the opposite of that. It's not to assimilate. It's not to melt into the melting pot of nothingness, of no unique identity. And this is where the sacred cow of American Judaism comes up and raised the fact, this whole concept of being the chosen people, of being different, of us being anything different than, you know, Jewish Americans and Italian Americans or Chinese Americans. We all have our ethnicities, but we're all fundamentally just a different spoke in the wheel of an American identity. And this is what the American Jewish community has built itself on for the last 100 years. And it's been a cold water wake up with the rug being pulled out from so many of us. And even I of course understand this, that we are unique and we are special and we have a unique destiny. But seeing this court, this Hague of these people, rational people, calling on Israel a genocidal state? Are you kidding me? Like, don't you have 2 cents in your head? And the point is that God is making them nonsensical. But it's for us, because you want to be part of the nations of the world. You want to just be another country on the flag of the UN. We're not going to let you. We're going to single you out, even though it makes absolutely no sense. Because hen am levadad yishkon, we are a nation that dwells alone. Uvagoyim lo yischashav, and among the other nations, you're not going to be counted. You're not going to have the seat at the table. And they're saying it deleteriously. They're saying it negatively. But it's Hashem reminding us that we need to take that message and turn it positive. That we have a national, glorious, historical mission on planet Earth to be the moral barometers of human history. That's what it means to be the chosen people. We are the spiritual quarterbacks of history. And that's something to embrace. And the only way that we can live up to that is if we know what that mission is. And that's what I'm trying in my waking days and hours on planet Earth, is to teach young Jewish people what it means to be Jewish. What is that moral code? Who are we? We're not just a Chinese or an Italian or a Mexican-American. God bless all of them. Nothing wrong to say about them. But we're not like everyone else. And there are many, many Jews who are waking up to that fact. And I want to end with another incredible testimony, another incredible story. And they all seem to be Jewish women. It's just unbelievable, the power of the emunah, of the strength of the Jewish woman. And this woman's story is absolutely incredible. This incredible woman is named Efrat Moore from Kiryat Arba, okay, which is near Hebron. Her firstborn son, Eitan, is captured in Gaza for 100 days. And she was just recently interviewed. And she's a religious woman. And just listen for yourselves. So the interviewer asked her, do you have a message to the Jewish people, considering you're facing this great challenge? And she responded, I have a strong message, Meser Chazak, for the Jewish people. She said, we are crying, but we are not whining. We are not throwing ourselves a pity party. We make room for our personal pain, but we're not whining. We're not complaining. We're continuing to live our lives. We are happy with raised heads. Okay, can you imagine saying, can you just imagine this woman? 100 days, doesn't know where her son is. Held by Hamas. She says, we encourage our soldiers in this mission. And she says, well, what does Hamas want from us anyway? They want to bring us down, and we won't let them. We're carrying on strong, and we will not let them get us down. And the interviewer is just, again, blown away. See how great the Jewish people are? It's unbelievable. She says, where do you get your strength? And she says, Kodam Kol, first of all, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God himself. She said that God did not put us in this test for no reason. There is a reason why we're here and enduring this test. And she says, I feel his love for us with so many kindnesses along the way. You just imagine this? This is superhuman. This is what it means to believe in Hashem even when things aren't going our way. How long will it take me to get upset when my heater in my car won't work in -8 temperature, right? This woman's son is gone for 100 days and she feels Hashem's love. And the interview, and she continues and she says, and also we get our strength from the Jewish people. The Jewish people just give us a big hug, both the Jews here in Israel and in the diaspora in Chutz La'aretz. You know, we are a people that dwells alone. You know why? Because who can reach this level? Who can reach this level? Who is like the Jewish people? Who? Tell me. Tell me another nation that goes and we're the only ones that care about the people in Gaza. We're the only ones. Hamas for sure doesn't. The more people they're killed, they're happy with. They put all of their military institutions right next to civilians. On purpose, and we, the Jewish people, are just, you know, pass by, go, be safe, show us you're not a terrorist, and we're not going to kill you. And who else like this woman, like this holy woman, Ifrat Mor, can feel Hashem's love during this most dark and challenging time? We are a people that dwells alone. We are a people that dwells on high. We're flying through this world spiritually with our feet just barely touching the ground. And it's an honor to be a part of this nation. So God bless. Have an amazing week. May we be inspired by the nations of the world that want us to be regular, average people and know that we're not ordinary, we're extraordinary. And may we bring that into our lives to learn more about what it means to be an extraordinary people like Ifrat Mor. God bless. See you back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Love me so.